With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Craig Doyle. Welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Coming up, the views of Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson, Keith Ewan, Julian Ryder and Gavin Emmett. But first, here is how the race was won.
Maverick Viñales on the M1 factory Yamaha then comes to the close of this lap. The feature race of the day, the MotoGP, is going to be two wins out of two Grand Prix for Maverick Viñales. A short shoot then onto the finish line. It's just 20 yards away. Maverick Viñales takes the win from Valentino Rossi, his teammate. Yamaha are going to be so happy. And a brilliant ride from Cal Crutchlow into third place. The first man since Wayne Rainey to do back-to-back opening Grand Prix wins. Zarco gets it over the line in fifth. Folger, his teammate, is sixth. What a day for the independent team, Yamaha's as well.
Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson, what a great day we've had. It's been really good because practice sessions were difficult, qualifying difficult, weather was playing up, but actually today, smashing.
Yeah, I just said, actually off camera, I said, do you know what, Colin, sometimes you forget how good Cal Crutchlow is. On a day like today, when the Honda wasn't working, when the factory boys crashed their bikes, he held it together. How many mistakes did we see him make? None. And just did an incredible job.
And you say it's a good day. It wasn't a good day for Honda, Suzuki, Ducati, the Marquez brothers. I mean, there was a few things that went wrong. But as far as the action, yes, there was plenty.
Well, that's kind of why it's a good day. And I don't mean to sound naughty on that. But, you know, the fact is you can't call these races. You said it beforehand. The teams we expect to do things are just not doing them at the moment. It's a great season opener.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because the field is so close now. You have to be on the limit every lap. Marquez knew he was on the medium rear. He had to push early on. He saw the gap, and he saw the gap was growing. And typical Marquez, he carried on pushing, and down he went. And that's why we're seeing mistakes, because it's so close.
Yeah, some big moments. You know, we're going to show everyone at home all those moments, all those crashes, some brilliant overtaking too. Before that, let's remind ourselves how it all finished in MotoGP today. And Maverick Viñales, he kind of cruised home in the end, almost 3 seconds ahead of Valentino Rossi. Cal Crutchlow in third there, another 3 seconds behind. Cal saying he reckons he could have closed them down, but had to keep an eye on the off-fuel. Alvaro Bautista, absolutely outstanding for him, I guess, in the Ducati team with the smallest amount of cash, but doing the best job for that mark today. Absolutely wonderful stuff. And Johann Zarco and Jonas Folger, fifth and sixth. Really good for Tech 3. Right, let's go get some reaction from Gav.
Cal, congratulations on the podium here in Argentina. Not the first time, we know you got one here a couple of years ago, but just how important this one was it for you after Qatar and maybe after the end of last season as well?
First race I've finished back since Australia, and I've had another podium, so yeah, good. No, obviously really pleased for my team. Nice to be able to repay them after Qatar. The hard work they've put in the off season, and also me with trying to help develop this bike, it's not been easy. So yeah, to also be the first Honda of the year on a podium, I think.
True. Yeah, sounds about right.
So yeah, it's nice. It's good for my team. We deserve it. We worked hard. The race was actually quite easy. I could have pushed probably for Maverick. I tried two or three times, but I had a warning light come on my dash. Every time I pushed, I had a warning light come on, so I had to slow down. But I could keep the pace. I just had to slow down. And then Valle just stayed at the same behind me. And in the end, when he came past, I probably could have stayed a lot closer behind him, but the warning light was on. I say, okay, I just have to finish the race. So in the end, it was quite an easy race. Long, but easy. Not so much going on, not so much passing, but good fun, you know. So we'll go to Texas now, hopefully in good spirits. The bike's really hard to ride, especially the last five laps of the race seemed very difficult to ride. I was cruising around, but it seemed really, really difficult physically, and I want to be able to improve that in the next race. Because we could have been doing a second a lap faster if the bike was just not shaking, but we know why it's shaking. So we'll see. We'll go to the next one and try again. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out of Argentina and getting to Austin and seeing my family tomorrow.
I just wonder about the warning light. Was there also a warning when Marquez went down? You'll have seen him. He had obviously the same tyres as you, the harder on the front there. Danny, I don't know if you know, he also crashed out on similar sort of thing. So was that a worry to you at all, a concern?
When I saw that them two had crashed with the same front tyre as me, I was a little concerned, but I knew I could manage the tyre to the end of the race, not really pushing, you know. The warning was not... It was a little something else, but I let Mark go in the start of the race because I knew that I changed the rear tyre on the grid, and it took another lap to come in, and I let him go, and I thought, OK, it's a perfect situation because he can try and go, then I'll try and catch him. Same as in Australia. I was not willing to risk it at the start. I needed to finish the race after Qatar, and I didn't need to push in those first laps. So I kept the guys behind me for a little while, and then I said, OK, now I have to speed up.
Cal, slow please for you. Well done on third place today.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Everyone's been there, light on, 20 miles from the nearest petrol station, just try and bring it home. Is that essentially what happened? Was it a fuel warning?
A whole lot of smoke and mirrors. I don't know. I'm trying to dissect that, but could be a fuel light or something like that. You know, the old bikes with the old electronics, they used to self-adjust, you know, every six laps. The new electronics, I don't know. It might be a warning light that comes on saying you're drinking too much, back it off, but he said he could still hold the same pace.
So it wouldn't necessarily be a light saying you're running out of fuel, or saying you're exceeding the amount of fuel you should be using at this stage of a race.
Yeah, that's more than likely, but I've never heard that before. I don't know if that's a new thing they've got. Possibly, I don't know.
Okay.
Cal never. You know, it's like you always. There's a message. There's a message in there somewhere.
Right, we'll get a team of analysts on there immediately. Yeah. Jorge Lorenzo didn't have to worry about fuel. He didn't get past the first corner.
No, and that's
not his fault. To be fair,
it was his fault. It was his fault. He ran into the back of who was
it?
Suzuki.
Ioannoni.
Yeah. Definitely was. It was his fault. You know, obviously he's got the throttle in his hand. This is the problem when you qualify in 16th.
Okay, but tell me something. He does run into the back of Ioannoni, but does Ioannoni check up? I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
I don't think that's clean cut. You know these things. You think that's a clean cut?
That's 100% clean cut in my eyes. Yeah. The guy in the front's got every right, you know. I mean...
No, he just runs straight into him.
Yeah, I'll give you that shot.
Yeah, he ran straight into him. Honestly, Craig, he did. I mean, don't get me wrong, he don't make many mistakes like that, but he's just trying to get a drive out of this corner. And he knows what's basically, he's qualified 16th and he has to be aggressive on that first lap, and he was just trying to set up getting into turn two.
I don't think he knew he was going to run into him because his head was so far over.
Yeah.
I don't think he really saw him and just assumed he'd be out of the way.
Absolutely. That's it. Think about it. His head's down by his hand. You can't see that part. It's like a blind spot. And that's exactly what's happened.
He was merely one of the first of the big names to fall because they followed quick and fast after that. Mark Marquez. What happened here, Colin?
You know, and I mean, it happened so fast. If we could slow it down, I could analyze it. But it looks like he gets in over those rollers, compresses the tire, and as he goes over that last little roller, it's too hard on it. It overloads it and just goes away from him.
And his technique of braking, Colin, because, you know, he doesn't squeeze the brake. He grabs the brake.
And smashes it.
And that compounds it with what Colin's saying, with the front sort of like just wallowing a bit.
But then Danny Pedrosa has the exact same crash, which was kind of odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he gets in there, gets a bit loose already, and he's being stubborn about it. You know, I can get it to go in, and that happened a little bit later than Marquez's.
Yeah, tough on Danny, tough on Mark as well. I mean, they have to fight so hard with that bike. Have another look at this, Carl. A bit slower down. Talk us through what you think's happening.
Look at his front tire. He goes over the little roller and just gets it unloaded.
Yeah, takes the weight off it.
Takes the weight off of it, and away it goes.
And it's that combination. He's taking the weight off the front, and he's aggressive. He grabs it. He doesn't squeeze it. He doesn't transfer the weight. Don't get me wrong, his technique works, but just as that weight came off, and he didn't stand a chance, really. We saw how fast he went down. You don't save them.
We're just outside the Ducati pit box here, and you can see there's a few of the big bods there, and they're forcing smiles, but they've had a really, really difficult day. But you got to feel for Dovizioso.
Oh.
I mean, not his fault. Yet again, 2 years on the bounce in Argentina.
Yeah. But it's not just at this track. How many times has this happened? Innocently going wide. And it's not Alesia's fault. I know Alesia's cleaned him out, but Alesia's crashed on his own accord. Just bad luck.
And, you know, Espargaro, he did, I think, 4 40-point-0s or three in a row. He was catching these guys and just eyeline, eyesight, got in there
That's
a little hot. And
yeah. What happens when somebody outbreaks himself in front of you? You break too late as well. And Dovi did the intelligent thing, was going wide, but Espargaro thought, I'm up the inside here.
Yeah.
And down he went.
Well, when you're behind him, you think he's going to come back on you.
Yeah.
What do they do now? I mean, what a terrible weekend for them.
Colin,
what do they do now? Don't ask me, man.
What do they do now? No,
I don't know. It's a difficult situation, that's for sure.
It really is. So much to look at, of course, and we have two more live races coming your way. But the big headline today, I guess, is Maverick Viñales just looking so smooth in the lead here today, and so smooth, and looked like really nobody was going to catch him in that MotoGP race. You've analysed what he does out there, and you've compared and contrast with Johann Zarco. Show us what you've got.
Yeah, and you know, we know Zarco was on the hard rear. This is Viñales here. Coming around, was his turn six? And there's just no smoke billowing off the tire. There's a little tiny little bit, but there's nothing crazy. You look at Zarco here, okay, hard tire, different tire. It's already sideways. It's already clocked sideways. And you're just roasting the tire. And it wasn't just that corner. The very next one is where I really clocked it. Viñales is just nice and easy, you know, wheels in line, and he's just managing his tire.
It's amazing. You forget he was on a Suzuki last year. He looks like he's been riding that bike all his life. Let's hear from him now. He's with Gav.
Maverick, congratulations. Two races, two wins on Yamaha. I don't know if you know, but the last person to do that at the start of the season for Yamaha was Wayne Rainey, 1990. Wow. Valentino didn't do it, Jorge didn't do it. So does that feel even better?
Yeah, even better. Compare myself to Wayne Rainey, it's something incredible. He's a legend, one of the best, the greatest of all the time. So happy because the team is working really well. And I feel confident on the bike. Still today I feel it, my pace was really good. Still, we have to modify something on the electronic that we can improve for next racer if we have to fight, you know. So I'm happy. I'm confident.
Was it a concern when Mark went out at the front and, you know, you were in there with Cal as well? Did you just want to let Mark go, or did you think, well, I've got to chase him?
Sure. I think I have to chase him and fast, you know, because Mark was doing a great lap times, same as mine. So I needed to hurry up, and I was hurry up. I think if Mark don't crash, I will do a bit faster than what I was doing. But anyway, I hope Mark is okay. He can return without injuries. He was doing a great race also.
How's the Yamaha going to work in Austin in a couple of weeks' time? We know the Honda's always gone well there. Is it going to be a tougher prospect than Argentina?
We know that their Hondas are doing good, but it's Mark. You know, it's Mark that make that Honda doing really good. And I know I'm good on that. I'm good on changing directions. I'm good to keeping the speed there. So we're going to try to make one stop-and-go bike. And we're going to try to fight for the win.
I love the sound of the confidence, Maverick. Two wins. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice fella. Full of confidence. And a great relationship currently with Valentino Rossi. Good to see that going well. Makes a change in that pit box, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, I'm still dumbfounded by what he just said. I'm going to make a stop-and-go bike for Austin. So these guys are already thinking ahead. But, yeah, these guys obviously get along great.
Good stuff. Delighted to say we're joined by Scott Redding. Well done, Scott. Good ride today. Finished eighth. How are you feeling about that?
No, I feel good. I was just saying then it was a difficult race for me with the tyre. I went with the harder option in the rear, and it didn't really pay off at all. I struggled to get the front tyre temperature up in the first few laps, and I was doing 141s, and I needed to be in the middle 40s, and that let the guys get away. And then when the fuel dropped, tyre temperature came, I could get my rhythm the middle 40s. That was my goal to get in the race, you know. And then I managed to pass Miller, make a bit of a gap. Then in one moment, like a switch, the rear tyre was destroyed, you know, spinning all the way up the back straight, trying to load the tyre, coming out onto the starting straight finish, was just trying to tame a beast, you know. So in the end, I knew I had to fight for it because the guys were coming. I had no tyre left, no lap time left to make a gap. And I just managed to bring it home in eighth, just defending a bit of line and doing the best I could today.
When did you make that decision on the tyre?
Well, Friday.
You were early because a lot of them were making late calls on the grid, right?
Yeah, my problem was that in the beginning of the weekend, after Friday, you have to make a decision on tyre. And I didn't really feel good with any except the hard. So, you know, the soft, we thought we were safe for qualifying. We used the hard for the race. And we neglected the medium. It was a little bit, maybe my mistake, but I didn't have a good feeling. So the error was probably there. But, you know, in the warm-up, I was good. And I felt good with the hard tyre, but in the race, I really struggled to get that potential with it with the full fuel tank.
Try and give us some insight into what's going on with Ducati at the moment. You're on the GP16, Battista on the GP16. Great result for him today. But across from you here, you've got the Ducati factory team with that beautiful multi-million pound bike, and it's not doing the job. What is the difference, and why is it working for you guys and not them?
I wouldn't say it's not doing the job, personally. You know, both were unlucky. You know, Lorenzo hit the back of Iannone. Dovizioso got took out. I mean, Ducati's never been one of them bikes to take the front and go away. They've always had to work to make the good results. And it's still a bike early, still developing a lot. It come late in testing. With my bike, it was everything I wanted better last year. I've got it with this bike. So I know I just have to work on myself and just with the setup. So in the end, they will come stronger. And, you know, as for the GP15 with, like, Baz and Abraham, sometimes that bike will shine. It did last year, it will this year.
But the timesheets show that the older bikes are doing better.
Yeah,
evidence is there.
Yeah, definitely in the one lap, you're right. But also, them guys, you see a lot of time they're following. It's one lap, you see the rhythm, it's not really that strong. I was surprised with the rhythm of Abraham. I expected to drop back a bit more, but I managed to hold a good pace. And, you know, some riders have better feeling in other tracks, and maybe the setup of his bike worked better here than others.
Let's hear from that wise old man, Valentino Rossi.
Valentino, I want to know what you have for breakfast on race day every single week, because, again, we didn't know where you were throughout the weekend, and you didn't. You came to us and you said that, you know, you're still looking for that something. Did you find it again today?
Yeah, for sure. Looks like with this bike, we suffer a lot during the practice because it's a different way to ride. And also this morning in the warm-up, we decided to try two different balance, and we understand what we need for the race. And like in Qatar, we were able to improve a lot of the balance to make the bike very comfortable for me, braking, entry. I was stronger than in Qatar. I feel good. I feel good physically, and also I feel concentrated mentally. I can ride at the maximum from the beginning to the end, so it was a good race. And also, The battle with Cal was great because it was very tight, but I understand that I can do because I was a little bit faster, and you know, it's important to arrive on the podium. It's important to improve the result of Qatar, and it's also important for the championship.
And you're closer to Maverick as well in terms of the time at the end of the race. Do you feel you're chipping away at that gap? And there will be a time when we're going to see you both battling on track.
Allora, for me, I have to see the lap time. But I think that today he was a bit faster than me. So also if I overtake Cal before, difficult.
Yeah, and about overtaking Cal, he said he was having to slow. He had a fuel problem, perhaps. A warning light was on. Did you time your pass so that you knew at the end of the race you had enough to manage?
Allora, everybody, we are strong, but we fight with the tires, you know, like normal. But I have two or three points where I can go faster, and one point where I can overtake Cal. And I say, so if I'm able to overtake and make these two or three points in front, I can take some advantage, and it was like this.
You still didn't answer me. What do you have for breakfast?
Yeah, breakfast of champion.
What was that? A coffee?
No, I don't remember. But, oh, okay. You know, if at a certain age, you have to decide one day to be strong. So we decide for Sunday. I think it's the right decision, no?
I think it's the best time to be strong. Valentino, well done on another podium. Brilliant.
Grazie, thank you.
I so wanted to say an unfiltered Gitan cigarette and an espresso. There you go. Not the case. Interesting what Scott said there about the factory Ducati team and the factory Honda team. So they're going to get better. It's going to take a little bit of time. Does that mean there's a few rounds here for Yamaha just to fill their boots with championship points? Is that what we're going to see?
Definitely. You know, you've got to take advantage if there's any sort of weakness. And it's always hard, these three flyaways to start with, because you can't really change too much. You know, by the time you get back to it, you've a chance of, you know, improving things. What are you going to say, Carl?
How much better are they going to get? You know, I mean, they have what they have. You got to mess around with the package you have. Sure, you're going to get better, but you're not going to get light years better.
Well, the fact it took FP3 for Jorge Lorenzo to decide what saddle height he liked shows that they're still work in progress, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, there is. I mean, for Jorge more so, he needs seat time. What he didn't need today, I'm not going to state the obvious, that he didn't need to crash. He needed another race under his belt. He needed to understand what that motorcycle felt over 25 laps, over 40 minutes, you know, and he's missed that. So he's really on the back foot even more than he would be.
It's easy to go out and do 4 or 6 laps. You come in, oh, this is terrible, that's bad. But when you get 24, 25 laps in, you can come in and analyse everything.
You understand
exactly.
You understand everything about it.
The Yamaha's going well across the board. The Tech 3 team, an outstanding result today. Johan Zarco in 5th place. Jonas Folger taking 6th. Just brilliant stuff. We'll start looking at Folger. And what did he do so well today?
Wait, he's been fast ever since he threw his leg over this bike, and he just looks comfortable. He's a big lad. He uses his body weight a lot. He's comfortable with the back end moving, as we just saw. Yeah. Big slides, but great to see his confidence building.
And Zarco here, it looked like that hard tire worked about mid-race, and then it just fell off the planet. He was spinning and smoking, but he held on to it.
But that's the education for two rookies. They need to do these races. They need to know... Actually, when it starts sliding, you've got to try and roll it off a little bit or you'll burn the tyre out. It's a new experience for them. They'll have never had that in Moto 3 or Moto 2.
But Zarco's not behaving like a rookie.
No.
Which is brilliant.
He thinks he belongs there, but that's, you know, what he's talking about riding the bike manually. You remember what Cal said yesterday? I had to ride the bike more manually. Instead of just relying on all the electronics to do all the work, sometimes you have to just breathe it a little bit and try and go forward instead of sideways.
Okay, well, there you go. That's MotoGP done and dusted. Let's look back at Moto 3.
Here comes McP! Is he going to be able to do it? The front bubbles! Does he do it? No, he's not going to be able to.
Ooh.
It's going to be Mir for sure. McP is going to push Martin out wide as they go for the line. McP is second, but it's Joan Mir, the fastest man here all weekend, that takes the win for the second time this year. And it is McP for the second time who is in runner-up spot. What a fantastic race.
I'm delighted to say we're joined by John McPhee, just enjoying those final moments there, and it's amazing in racing. 1 second, you're trying to close down on the race leader. Half a second later, you're defending your second place. Difficult emotionally there, I'd imagine, those final seconds.
Yeah, the last lap was exciting there. It was good to see what was going on behind me as well, because I kind of had a rough idea of what was going on, but... I didn't know quite how close they were going to enter that final turn, and trying to defend, trying to make a move on Mir at the same time. It wasn't an easy last lap, but we done the best job we could.
Yeah, really enjoyable battle, and for the most part, you were battling with Joan Mir, who was looking really smooth out there, but you're pushing each other wide. You had to kind of fight quite a lot there, didn't you, really?
Yeah, I'd lined it up. You know, every lap I came down in there, I knew Mir was going to be the guy to beat come the last lap, because he was so strong throughout the whole race. And going down there, I was much faster through the left-hander and the run down into it, but he was a little bit stronger on the brakes. So I knew if I could just get alongside him, brake beside him, and just kind of run him off, you know, run him wide, and then we would have had the place. But he braked so deep, and I went in behind him, had a little bit of moment with the front, and both of us ran wide, and I thought that Martin was going to come through on us. So, yeah, lucky to get away with it, really. But yeah, it's still some really good points on the board, so we need to be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to pick up on the detail in a moment, Haji, but just give us an overview of what it means to you. You know, a couple of podiums in the first two rounds of the season compared to last year, it's fantastic for you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's a massive improvement compared to what we've had in the past. And it's a great feeling. You know, the season for me doesn't really start until you arrive back in Europe. So these three races are strange. You know, it's a long way to come. There's a lot of effort goes into getting here and getting everything organized, and you only get one opportunity. So if you chuck it down the road in one of these first few races, it's a big waste of points, and it's not a very good way to finish. So to get there on the podium the first two rounds is a really nice feeling for me. It's great for the team and great for everyone.
I wonder, looking back at last season on that Peugeot, I wonder, Parage having to brake late and squeeze every advantage you could out of that bike. How has that been a help this season on a better package?
Yeah, massively.
Have you used that experience?
Yeah, definitely. I came out of last year as a stronger rider, for sure. I was riding even Qatar race. You know, we got the podium at the first round, and then I said to the guys, the most frustrating thing is last year I had to ride 10% harder than I rode that the race to get on the podium, because when you're down on power, you're doing everything you can, and then you're way back in 20th position, and nobody's actually seen the effort you're putting in. So,
I told you. We had this conversation.
I know we had this conversation.
I said, driving a junker for a year is not a bad thing. It makes you a much better rider.
Yeah, exactly. That's completely right. So to then have a proper package and a proper bike underneath you, it makes all the difference.
How has your riding style changed, or has it changed in comparison to last year?
Not really, to be honest. I think, over the last 3-4 years, there's nothing really changed. It's more or less the same. I've learned a little bit and added it to my riding, but I've actually changing my style and having to adapt to the bike around, I've not had to do too much there. And it's weird as well, because you look at even the pre-season testing in Jerez and then Qatar, we look at what we were doing on the Mahindra, and or the Peugeot, I should say, and it's more or less the same. You know, I'm braking more or less the same marker, braking with the same pressure, carrying the same corner speed, doing everything more or less the same, but we've just got that extra horsepower to drag us down the straights.
Are you starting to believe you're a contender? What's the future looking like? I mean,
it's kind of all coming itself, you know, without me having to overthink it or overanalyze it. You know, I came over the line, I don't know if you've seen, but I nearly punched the screen. I was so angry that I didn't win the race. So I then came in and thought, right, come on, let's have a bit of a reality check here. We're still on the podium. It's the second round of the season. Then obviously I'm delighted. I'm really, really happy to bring a podium. It's only second round of the year, but I think the fact is I know I can win races, and we're so close, it's definitely going to come.
The Moto2 Grand Prix of Argentina.
Oh,
there goes Marquez, and that's a big off. That's knocked him senseless for a moment or two. Alex Marquez did what he did last year. Frankie Morbidelli will take this Argentine Moto2 race win then. 2 out of 2, and he is the first Italian to win back-to-back Moto2 victories. Oliveira's over the line. Lutti gets a lucky third place.
Yeah, well done, Franco Morbidelli. Alex Marquez, what a difficult day he's got to reflect on. But a great weekend for these guys. Brad Binder, reigning Moto3 world champion, of course, plying your trade in Moto2 with the KTM team. Miguel Oliveira on the podium today. Well done, boys. A massive weekend for you guys for many reasons, but for the team, huge. What has the celebration been like in there, Miguel?
Yeah, we're celebrating a little bit for sure. It's a big day for us. For sure, even yesterday with the pole position was already a big surprise. And today, for sure, the main goal was to get the points, you know. But finally, we got the podium, which was awesome.
And no one wants to see a fellow rider crash like that. But yeah, it was a nice little treat for you.
Yeah, I mean, was a good gift. Yeah, I saw he was angry to go for victory. To stop Morbidelli to win his second race in a row, but finally that's racing.
It looked like, I don't know, halfway through you guys were all catching, and then for some reason you had a mistake or something.
I had a bit of a moment trying to take my tear off in the back straight, and was kind of looking so much to the left side, and I jumped basically
too far braking.
I overbrake myself and I lose a couple of tenths there. Right. So
Brad. A significant ninth place for you, considering we only found out just before the race, you've actually got a broken left arm at the moment. That is incredible that you got through a race, never mind getting in the top 10. What's the break like? How bad is it? How much pain were you in throughout that race?
My arms felt strange, really strange for
Yeah, because it was broken, Brad, you know.
Well, I mean, to basically last night, it didn't feel good. I struggled to sleep because I had a lot of pain, and when I woke up this morning, it was not looking good at all. It was really, really swollen, and like something was wrong. So I went to the medical center, and we took another x-ray, and basically the plates come loose and the bones moved again. So it's not ideal, and my arm was super sore, but Clinica has some good painkillers. So it was pretty, it got me through the race, that's for sure.
Is there an operation in store? Might you be out for a while, you think?
Yeah, now tomorrow I head back to Barcelona, and on Wednesday or Thursday I'm getting operated on again. So that's me out for the next 6 weeks, apparently.
Well, best of luck with your recuperation, and you're a brave man. Fair play to you. Just very quickly, Miguel, though, what does this mean for KTM today? Their first season in Moto2, yesterday pole on the podium today. It really rubber stamps you guys as a racing team in MotoGP.
Yeah, coming into a new project, the expectation always is not too high because everything is new, and we kind of seeing what is coming out. But the truth is the team is working really hard. Also the test team is in tests all the time. And this makes the work for us a little bit easier. But we are working hard for it, and the results will come even better. Yeah.
Okay, so you call it Texas, Jerez, Le Mans. Where can we expect you to win? Because it's coming. It's going to happen soon.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen soon, but we really need to keep our feet on the ground in terms of working now. I think Jerez is a good place because we've tested there quite a few times, and we are comfortable. We know what to expect. But now Texas is a completely different track again, so we'll have to learn everything. So.
Are you really training to be a dentist?
I'm studying.
Are you really?
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
You have cracking teeth.
After work career, yeah.
Really? Okay, well, you might come around our paddock. Bit of work to be done in our gang. But look, well done today. Congratulations, Brad. Look, hard luck with that broken arm, and we hope you get better soon. Boys, have you calmed down yet? What did you make of the weekend?
Such a lot to make of, really, isn't there, Craig? I've got to say that for me, though, I'm going to stick with McPhee if I can. The fact that already they're analysing where they can find something even more. He's a man that just finished in second place, almost won the race, yet they're looking at how they can brake a little bit harder, how they can get the balance of the bike better. That shows for me just how far they've advanced on the British talent team.
Absolutely. We said it in Qatar that McPhee will be a championship contender this year. This weekend proved it. And we saw the insights that John, Neil there in his analysis, and Jeremy, they've given us insights into what it takes to make those absolutely tiny improvements.
So what about Lorenzo? He's the other man that seems to make a lot of improvement. That was his fault. I mean, we had to look at it in the first place. Ian Ohne did check up just a little bit, but the fact of the matter was that he didn't come across the nose of Lorenzo. No. Lorenzo did just ride into the back of the Suzuki man. Mind you, he's only getting his own back for what Ian Ohne did to him some time ago.
Yeah, but you see it here. Lorenzo, as Neil said, he's over the right of the bike. He might have a blind spot there.
No, he knew where everything he was. At the end of the day, he shouldn't have run straight into the back of somebody. The problem as well for me is the fact that Ducati's qualified so badly. You said it right early in commentary. I think the boys said it as well. If you qualify that bad, you put yourself in a bad area. And that's what had happened.
Absolutely.
And they've not qualified that bad for over 10 years, the factory bikes.
And the question is now, Keith, everybody, where does Lorenzo's head go now? What can he do?
Did Ducati pick the wrong man? Answers on a postcard at BT Sport Motor GP, of course. You can always join us as far as that's concerned. There's a lot of Lorenzo fans out there at the moment. What are you thinking? Is it Ducati's fault? Is it his own fault? Is it a joint problem that they're going to be able to get over? It's been a very strange weekend. The first one, Qatar and here, and of course Texas, don't always throw up exact results for the rest of the year.
Interesting question. Colin, have Ducati chosen the wrong man?
I'm not answering that. Lorenzo, how many championships has he won? Five, four, however.
Plus act.
He's fast. Yeah. They got some underlying issues, some serious issues they need to fix.
The guy is an outstanding former world champion. There's no doubt about that. We know, though, mentally things can get in on him a little bit, and this weekend's not going to help on that front. He needs some feel-good, and he needs a quick.
Yeah, he does. And we can't start picking on him just yet. Let's wait till we get to Spain, Barcelona, a bit later on in the year. You know, he made a mistake in that race, obviously. He qualified poor. He wasn't that good in Qatar. He needs to pull his finger out, doesn't he?
I say we finish this over a pint in the bar.
I think that's a very good idea.
We can go deeper into this.
Yeah. Are you buying, Colin? Finally.
I'll buy.
Good man. I've never seen him drink a full pint, though. The plant next to him always gets a little bit of it. Bad day for the factory Hondas as well. So interesting, isn't it, how it's shaken up today?
Yeah, it's a massive day for the championship because, you know, after pre-season, everyone said it's between Marquez and Vinales. And Vinales took a full 25 points off Marquez today. That's the big story for me.
Yeah, I mean, both Hondas crashing in exactly the same corner. The chances of that are pretty slim. There's something going on, you know, kind of similar crashes, but they're having to ride it. Obviously, talking to Cal, you got to take a lot of risk and ride it hard to make it go fast.
Yeah, and the big story, of course, Cal Crutchlow on the podium as well. And let's not forget that Scott Redding's currently fourth in the MotoGP Championship. But the big result, again, especially for all the Scots watching today, John McPhee up on the podium in Moto3. A nice tweet from his mentor, Jeremy McWilliams. He spotted something when he looked at the podium today. And the initials of all the winners, all the podium sitters today, Joanne Mir, John McPhee, Jorge Martin and Jeremy McWilliams, four JMs. Janie Mack. That's all I got to say about that, boys. not the most exciting thing we saw in Moto3 today, but a great result for John, and we've seen him just seemingly grow over the past few weeks.
It's weird that just everything come together at the same time. The Honda, the package, the team, him, everybody's starting to believe, and he's on the podium two times in a row. It's awesome.
Is this it? Is this the change for him?
Absolutely. Yeah. John McPhee's fighting for this world title, and we've got something to scream and shout about in every Moto3 race. I'm over the moon.
And you think the battle's going to be with Joan Mir? You think that's his main
man? Mir's the real deal. He's a class act from the first time we met him. He won a race last year as a rookie. He won the rookie race, you know, like the rookie championship last year. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's Mir. So for John to beat him in the championship, it's going to be difficult, but... he's got the tools to do it.
And a quick word on what I think is probably one of the biggest disappointments of the weekend, and that's Alex Marquez, because he needs a big season. Mm. He's been trying to find his feet in that Moto2 bike. We thought that might happen this weekend. Almost on the podium, crashes out.
There's no excuse for that. Absolutely not. The race is over. You can't do anything about it. Just take your medicine, get your second place, and go.
The good news is he gets to fix it in Austin. Well, there you go. That's it from Argentina. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time from the Americas GP in Austin, Texas. We'll speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.